So we are giving each of our seniors a Scofield, an old Scofield reference Bible, beautiful blue for landmark, and written in the front of this. It says, "This is my Bible. It is God's holy word. It is the landmark that guides my steps. It is the truth that lights my way. I can trust its promises. I can rest in its sole authority. For all things that pertain to life and godliness, I believe in this book, and the God of this book believes in me." And that's from Pastor Parsons, and to each of our graduates this morning. So I'll call their names. They can come up and get one of these from Pastor. All right. So we have and we don't want the men to trip either. They're not used to wearing gowns and dresses, so amen. All right, so first of all, we have Christopher Matthew Gillian Jr. Amen. All right, Cindy Goen. Yarley Hernandez Soto. Isabel Lamfer, Magdala Metellius, Chris Raymond, Joseph Spadano, Cole Stanick, and Ashley Tomlinson. These are seven of our graduates. We have two others that will be here Wednesday night, but we're glad and proud of each of them that are here this morning, their parents as well, too. Our parents or relatives of these graduates, would you stand, please, at this time as well? Any of our relatives, parents of each of the graduates this morning, thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated.
All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17, familiar passage of scripture this morning, and I have a title for the tape room, and let me just remind the church, and I know those of you that are visiting with us, this is a charge from our church. We'll have a charge, and Brother Colin Morton, who's a graduate of our school, will be flying in to be here Wednesday night to give the charge on the graduation night, but this is kind of a charge for our church people and our members here in our church and but these young people. So this is, I'm going to be preaching to them, but I believe that you'll be able to glean from it as well this morning. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's a familiar story as David goes to reach Goliath. And for the tape room, what I'd like to be put on the internet as far as the title would be Crossing the Brook into the Battle. Crossing the Brook and into the Battle. And if you're, for the high school seniors, your title that you may like to write in your Bible or keep for yourself is Five Stones That'll Fly. Five Stones That'll Fly. All right? All right. This morning we're going to pray and then we'll dive into the message. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for these young people. So many of them, I've watched them for many years, Lord, and I watched how they've grown. Lord, how you've invested in their life from their parents, Lord, from our teachers. Lord, each one of them have had different battles and different struggles throughout their years, Lord. And I know that they look forth and they think they've been through the fight, Lord. But I pray that you'd help them now as they cross really into the battle. They'll face some giants that, Lord, that they've had some small battles, but the giants are waiting on them out there in the world, Lord. And I pray that the things that they'll take with them will help them weather the battle and they'll come through victorious of this life, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. David here is not a stranger to Saul, and so for many of you, I don't have time to read the entire two chapters that come before that give us all the context that we find, but David, if you've never heard the message preached on it before, David is someone who has been handpicked to help Saul with his spirit, because his spirit's already been going bad. He's already disobeyed God, and he's already had some times where he's needed someone who was skilled in playing. David also served as Paul's armor bearer previous to this battle, but because Saul stops by David's house and picks up his brethren, he drops off the youngest man to stay and work with the sheep. He doesn't feel like he need him, and I'm just going to be honest with you. If you realize everything that's going to happen in this battle, Saul wasn't planning on fighting anyway. Why would he need somebody to help him with his armor or to go into battle with him? He was sending other people out to fight these giants. He wasn't planning on fighting himself. And so again, David is left to watch the sheep, and they pick up his other brothers. He has been not only helping with the armor, but playing the harp. If you read the previous chapters, 40 days pass as David is in the wilderness watching his father's sheep. And in the 40 days that transpire between there, the stories that come, God preserves David's life, and he faces a lion and a bear, and he's out there in the middle of the wilderness, and he with his bare hands, all right? He says that he takes the lion, and I guess both the lion and the bear had a beard. Now, if you're a beard wearer, if you got one of those great big beards, just realize that the Bible, there's so many times that it was a disadvantage in a fight because they got a good handhold on the beard, and let them have it, man. All right. Now, it's you know, it is very manly and it looks really good and it probably keeps you warm in the wintertime. But if you got one long enough that somebody can get a good handhold on it, then you may not want to get in that kind of a scrap with somebody. All right. I'm just trying to be a help. Amen. Practical things from the Word of God. All right. So the lion comes up, and I mean, he gets a good handful of the beard of the lion, and I mean, he puts something on him. And then he gets a hold of the bear and he brings that to the battle. He's out in the wilderness. He doesn't leave his post. He doesn't leave what he's supposed to be doing. He graduates from watching the sheep. He's the youngest, and they get someone else to keep the sheep. And his father says, he doesn't tell him to go fight the battle. He says, I want you to go get a report on the battle for me. So David goes and he finds himself there, and he leaves the cart, all the cheeses and all the things that his father had sent to the captains of his brethren. And he goes and he hears, when he arrives, a giant, Goliath from Gath, walks out and blasphemes the name of God. He defies the armies of Israel. And he just standing out there, and anything he can do to egg on the armies of Israel, he's cursing God. He's saying things about the law of God. He's saying things about, everything that he thinks will egg them out into a battle, or for one of them to agree to fight him one-on-one. By the way, I want you to see this. I don't have time to preach it all the way through, but you know, he makes a claim, and the world will do this too. If you and me just go to battle with each other, if you win, we'll quit. And if you lose, now this was common in the past for them to set two of the champions at array. But you know that the world don't ever keep its word. Never. Do you know how many Bible theologians have taken on evolutionists? And they said, listen, if you can debunk it, we'll quit this. We won't teach it, especially in the early days. W.B. Riley stood against six evolutionists, and him by himself, him and his Bible and God Almighty, and took out all of them. Some people got saved in the meeting. And by the end, they ran all those evolutionists out of there because they knew the Bible was true. But you know what? The campus didn't stop teaching it. They didn't keep their word. They kept right on what they were doing before. And we could go through all the history, and that didn't just happen once, folks. That has happened over and over and over again, because you cannot prove a theory to be truth when that theory has been around for decades and decades and decades, and all it's ever been is a theory, a thought-up thing that somebody, by the end of his life, thought that was a really bad idea. But everybody else that took a hold of it and ran with it still wants to hold and herald him. And he's the guy at the end of his life said, I don't know why y'all are still holding on to this. That was one of the dumbest ideas I've ever had. Hey, folks, I'm just wanting to tell you, when we're coming to the place where we get to the battle, you guys are at that place where you have graduated from, the lion and the bears. I mean, you know how it is. You know, you think this is Wizard of Oz, lion and bears, you know, oh my. That's where you're at, English and math and science. Oh, my, right? And I mean, you've tackled these things, and some of you are valedictorian, I mean, with honors, and you grabbed the bear by the beard and took him out. He didn't even get a good bite on you. Now, some of you, you know, the teachers took a good piece of your hide just before you got out of here, amen, because you barely made it through. They talk about the skin of your teeth, but it was probably something else that you lost along the way. It had to be sleep. But I mean, we understand that that is a weariness of the flesh and the study and the battle that you've been to. And you think that, I mean, these are not accomplishments. We're honoring you today because of reaching this plateau and this thing. But realize what the difference in the scripture here, where there was a battle in the wilderness one-on-one, and you've been battling that. You've had that classroom, and it wasn't my brother or my sister, but it was me, oh Lord, standing in the need of a better grade, so that I could get through this class, or so I could go on to the next grade and I could graduate and stand here with my cap and gown. Each one of you will be standing with a different GPA, even though you were all in the same class. You got accounted for what you did. Now you leave that, and you had reasons for that, and you had want to. Now David, he wanted to keep and make his mom and dad proud and watch over the sheep. And some of you came to this place, and I wanted mom and dad to be proud, and I wanted to be honor them, and I wanted to get to this point and graduate. Now you've been sent to a different task. You're going to get to the battle, and you're going to find out, if you didn't already realize, that there's a cause. There's a reason to live this life that is bigger than yourself. And mom and dad, and keep it, I mean, listen, honoring mom and dad, that's something that glorifies God. You've come to this point of your life, and you ought to realize honoring mom and dad is something that glorifies God. But now I want my life, when I cross the brook and God adds to me, I have a family. I have a husband or a wife and children. Now I want my family to honor God. I want my life to bring God glory. Whatever His will is for my life, I want those things to be God honoring, and for me to get home when I reach heaven's shores, when I've crossed the brook and I've crossed the battle, and now I've come home to see my Savior face to face. I want Him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And sometimes we think that's only in the preacher's preaching, it's soul winning and it's bus running. But listen, you know, you're going to find out when the rubber meets the road, it's inside my home with my children, first and foremost. That the family is everything to God. He started it in the garden when He started everything. He said, "It's not good for man to be alone." And He joined them to a wife, and they had children. And this Christian life stretches beyond that. It's what, when we talk about the greatest commission God ever gave about service and going out, and I mean just for the church to bind together in the focus of world missions and missions at home to get the gospel out to every Christian, there is a cause that's bigger than myself. It is in my home. It's in my church. It ought to spill over into your community. And to all of the world, they ought to feel the impact of the cause that is taking place in your life. And as you cross the brook, I want you to read here with me if you would. He picks up in verse 29 and says, and David says, "What have I now done?" Because you know what? The first thing that's going to happen, if you realize there's a cause and you get excited about it, one of your brethren, not the world, the world's going to say, "I'm glad you got something you're focused on. Good that you've made a decision," because most of the world doesn't know what they want to do. "I'm going to go and take general studies." There's nothing wrong with general studies. It's a study of general things. It's just not very pointed. It shows that there's no focus or vision for the future. Now, a lot of people begin that focus because they want to find their focus. Now, my hope is by the time you've come through Christian school and were raised in a Christian home and you stand at graduation, many of you will give an answer. And we'll hear that on Wednesday night, of what it is that God has got next for you in this life. But I wonder how many of you, listen, when you step across that stage and you step onto the battle, you're going to need some ammunition to keep you alive. You're going to need some things because the battle, it's going to, whether you run to it like David did or whether you just step across the other side of the brook, the battle's coming to you. And you're going to need some things to hold you fast in your faith. You see, we didn't get into education as a church and a ministry just to educate you in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but in the Word of God, because that is what will keep you. That is what will keep you close to God. It'll keep your family together. It'll keep you in the battle when you're trying to wonder, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I struggling so hard to hold all this together? Who am I trying to please? You know, if you're trying to please yourself, there's a bunch of people that have quit in the midst of the battle because they know self is not worth it. But when you do what you do because of God, it's worth the fight. When you do what you do because one day you'll stand before the righteous judge and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," it's worth the fight. David finds himself at the battle. He says, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again. Again, he's speaking about the lion and the bear, and he'll go fight this giant. Verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said unto Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art a youth and a man of war." He a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion, and there came a bear, and bow, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto him, look at this, "Go, and the Lord go with you." I don't know about you, but as you go forth, many of you are going forth, and sometimes you'll think, go forth with the blessings of the Christian school. That's not how we want you to go forth from here. We wanted you to be here for all 12 of your years, or however many years you spent in our Christian school, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. As we assist the Christian home, they are trying to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when you go from this place, we want you to go with God. We want you to go with God's speed. We want you to go from this place and take the things that you've learned, that's been invested in you, and the things that we know will keep you. We want you to cross the brook with them into the battle. We realize that many of you, you know, you'll go, well, we hope you'll go with your English intact, all of that, right? And you'll go with your mathematics. And some of the things, every one of you, some of you were, you played sports, and you'll go with the character and the things that were put into you and the different sports and all the things. You have so many different ways to learn inside of the Christian school. But what we desperately don't want you to leave without is God's Word. Today we gave you a Bible. You say, well, they could have gave me a gift card to Chick-fil-A. It's not open on Sunday anyway. But we gave you the thing that we want you to turn back to. We gave you one of the things, as I preach, is one of the great precious stones that ought to be smooth to you. It will fly for the rest of your life. It'll be something that every time you need something to turn to, it's something that you can open, and it will turn and it will speak to you. When you read its words, it will remind you of Bible class. It will remind you of mom and dad. It will remind you of messages where you sat in church, and it will take your mind's eye back, and you'll say, man, I can fight this battle. I remember when I was just a kid, and Pastor Carter got up and told a story about how God gave him victory, and that verse he read, boy, I read it this morning, and if God could do it for Pastor Carter, he can do it for me. You'll remember stories that you heard other preachers preach during Bible conferences, or missionaries that were going to the field, and the reason they were trusting God, you'll go back in your mind's eye and you'll say, man. So I want you to see here, he says that, you know, the Lord go with thee. I want you to go with God. No matter what it is that you're stepping out into, don't leave God out of it. Don't go there thinking, this is my career. Take God with you. It doesn't matter what career you step into, you know God can bless that and elevate you far beyond your own ability. Do you know when a man is right with God, he can get honor from men? Like, I mean, guys that maybe even aren't saved. But God can grow you in wisdom and honor, like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a foreign land with a bunch of pagan people all around. God continued to give them favor and lift them up in the eyes of all in the land. Now, there were people that wanted to knock them down. There were people that wanted them in the fiery furnace. But God proved himself over and over and over again, and they were elevated, and they were elevated, and they were elevated in the kingdom because of whose they were. You need to remember, listen, I believe that every one of you have a salvation testimony in this place, but if you've doubted it, you have a question about it, don't go out into the battle not knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I want you to read down with me, and Saul armed David with his armor. Now see, Saul had armor. David knew about this armor, but this armor was made for Saul, not for David. Do you realize that being in the battle, going in battle, you need armor that was made for you? He says, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, and David said unto him, Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. You know, you're going to find a tendency right now as you cross the brook, right before you go into the battle, you have graduated high school. Each one of you have different GPAs. You've had different classes and maybe other classes you took, maybe some pre-college classes. You've got all these different things. Each one of you have grown into a different person that God wants to do and use in his own will for the future. And if you're not careful, you'll take advice from people who still haven't crossed the brook yet. You'll take advice from people that are barely standing on the other side of the brook and they've never been in the battle, or somebody like Saul who has been disobedient to God and he's bitter. And he said, you need to take my armor into the battle. When David came up a whole different way. He's not a man of war. He's a shepherd. Now, I'm just going to tell you, God chose to pit a shepherd boy with a staff and a sling against a man who was a giant and a man of war from his youth. Now, we live in a day of all these sports books, betting, and everything else, and if you partake in that, you've lost your mind. Amen. All right? And you need to check up whether you're saved or not. All right? Amen and amen. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. All right, I just thought I'd throw that in. So anyway, but here he is, and everybody on the Philistine side are elbowing each other going, we got this. Everybody on the Israelite side, except for God, you know, Saul is going, what was I thinking sending this boy out there? And everybody, even David's brothers are going, what's he thinking? Some of them were praying that he could be the man. Some of them were saying, we just lost this fight. We're about to be enslaved. You know the negative Nancys. They're all around us. The ones that want to throw a wet blanket on your fire and tell you you can't. You don't need them to be around you. You don't need to listen to their talk. What do you need to be listening to? The Word of God. Those encouragers that will encourage you to do exactly what God's asked you to do, even though the rest of the army and world think you're crazy, but you walk on by faith. David is heading out to the battle, and he puts off the armor and says, I can't go with this. I've never proved this. But I walk with God, and God protected me from the lion and bear, and I didn't have all this armor. The only armor I need is the armor of God. Do you know, wouldn't it be a shame for you to head out into the battle and forget the helmet of salvation? And when you go out into the battle, the breastplate of righteousness. Do you know that righteousness is being clean and honorable? Think about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not going out and acting like you're better than everybody else. I mean, think about that. But just being a witness that God will save you too if you just take him as your own. Your loins girt about with truth. Do you know that? I mean, that's at your center. It keeps you grounded. Keeps you at a place where you know the truth. And even though people, maybe you're going to go to college, maybe you go out in the world, and people will try to convince you what you grew up in and what you've been taught all your life is false. But having your loins girt about with truth will hold you steady. That sword of the Spirit gives you a weapon. Here, every time they say it's false, boy, it'll prick them. It'll cut deep in the heart. Do you know what? So most of the time, though, for the soldier, you're the one that needs cut. You get away from God, and when you read it, it pierces and divides between the soul and the spirit. Separates us and gets us back on track for what we need to do. And then we pray. Prayer is the greatest weapon the Christian has. To beg God. God, be involved in my life. God, help. Think about this. We'll leave this place today, and you guys, I mean, you went, you know, senior trip. Senior this, senior together, senior, you know. People have senior reunions from back in the day. Let me challenge you. Don't always think about yourself. Remember the people that walk across the platform the same day you do. You know, it'll keep you praying if you pray for them. You think about them and you just call their name out to God. And God, help them. Help them stay right. God, help them walk with you. Every one of you will cross the brook and head in a different direction to different giants in different battles. But it will help you greatly to just be a prayer warrior. You'll get down the road and you'll be like, I'm the only one that made it. Well, maybe you had a praying mama and a praying daddy that prayed for you and begged God for you on a daily basis. Maybe some of the others don't have that. So why don't you call their name out in prayer? Why don't you be the soldier that'll pray for them in the battle? He says, here are the five stones. He stops and he gets down. Look with me in verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand. And he chose him five stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. We know what happened in the battle, but I want you to take these five stones. These are five stones that will fly. You were able to pick these up while you were here at Landmark. I know you were. I know they were preached to you. I know you ought to have them, but you may have not. Listen, I realize this. I grew up, and I know that it's hard to believe that I graduated high school, and it's because it was so long ago. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Richard. But, you know, I know the difference. There are things that I was taught and were put in me, but I didn't hold on to them. I didn't, you know, he has a shepherd's bag, and it's something that's handy. There are things I know that God will, the only place that, only God can draw those things out of me that I were taught. But there are some things that I lock onto and I heard and I held on to. They were things that guided me. You know, one of those things is when your mom says something and it's like deja vu because it comes true. And you're like, Mom, why'd you say that? Be careful. You're going to get in an accident. What? And then you get in an accident. It's mom's fault, right? And so I'm just saying. Right? But I mean, that's how we feel about it. We hear that voice over and over again in our head. We hear, you guys are going to hear Brother Wiebe for decades screaming out the Patriot, right? And things that he said in class. All those things are things that, some things you hold on to that are profitable, some things that are just great memories, but these are things that you should pick up along the way and hold on to because these stones are smooth stones. You know, they don't hurt to hold on to them. They're smooth stones because they'll fly when you need to throw them. When you need to use them in the battle, they're smooth stones that will hit their mark every time. The first one is this. The stone of Jesus is the only way to heaven. Do you know one of the things that you need to hold on to and have it in the bag, and I mean it will carry you through this life, is knowing that nobody can, it's not works, it's not baptism. It's not being good. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves the sinner and that saved, listen, that you've accepted him and know him as that Savior, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You got to have that stone in your bag. You're not making it to heaven without that stone in your bag. And how in the world do you expect to make it through this life without that? It's the only, listen, it gives you a reason to live. It gives you a direction to walk. It gets you in the battle and keeps you in the battle and has somebody that'll watch over you and bless you in the way. The second is the stone of God's word. We gave you one. You know, we gave it to you because we want you to have it. Many of you have been blessed to live in this great country, and the Bible can be purchased at a dollar store and everywhere else. But I beg you, through your years, one of the things you ought to pick up and take a smooth stone is the, if God said His word is magnified above His very name, make the word of God much in your life. Make time for the word of God. Carry the word of God. Read the word of God. Study the word of God. Memorize the word of God. You've been made to do it all these years through Bible class. Now I beg you, don't look back and say, I'm never going to read again. I beg you to pick that stone up and carry it through with the rest of your life. Realize it's a book that will hold you up, and it's a book you can lean on and trust. It will revive you in times when you feel like you're dead. It's a book that has redeemed you. Listen, the only place I didn't see Jesus die on the cross, the only way I knew about it is because it was written in a book for me. And someone read from that book and told me about Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. And it changed me, it quickened me. It quickened you. It can continue to quicken your life and help you. Thirdly, I'll say this. You need to pick up the stone of God's work. The Great Commission, I kind of began the message there that there's a great work to do. Now, each one of you will go out of here and you're looking to something that will make you money. Those things need to be coupled with the work of God. You'll go out and whatever it is that God has for you, you don't need to forget His work. He commands each one of us to be a witness of Him. It's something that wasn't just given to the disciples, but passed on to His church. One of the things that you desperately need, listen, the reason we have a church and a family this size and place, because we have a great work to do. And we all meet together, we couple together, we gather our missions money together so that we can do more for missions and get the word out. We go soul winning and we pick a day. You could go soul winning by yourself, but it's great when you meet together in the building and go out with others. And we go out and we cover a whole block instead of just, I get maybe 6 or 7 doors in. All of a sudden we realize we've knocked a whole neighborhood. And we've fulfilled the Great Commission because God has a great work for your life. Don't just think, I'm going to go out to a work. No, do a work for God. That you don't have to be a preacher to do that. You just got to be a Christian to do that. A full-time Christian. Third stone is God's work. How about the fourth one? The stone of God's will. Each one of you are at the precipice. You have been told where to be, who to be, how to cut your hair, how to walk, how to dress, everything in the Christian school. You will make choices for yourself. You'll begin to make choices. You've already been given the little bit of freedom to do this and that. Now you're going to cross the brook and you're going to be in the battle and you're going to have to choose how you fight. You see the transition of even David? Listen, up until this day, I mean, Saul is like, here, this is what a man of war looks like. He tries to put what he thinks he ought to wear into battle. He said, but I haven't proved these things. Listen, I'm just going to challenge you. Take the word of God and then the will of God. As you step out onto the battlefield, realize, do you realize that there is an army of Israelites behind David? And none of them felt that this challenge against this giant was God's will for their life. And he stepped out onto the battlefield and he took on God's will for his life, his battle. Each one of you have your own giant to fight. Each one of you have your own battle in God's will that you can have victory, win. And listen, so many others can cheer you on in the battle. So many others can be there when you win and get in on the goodness of God in your own life. It'll be great when you find those victories. And listen, can you imagine what it was like when David cut the head off that giant and held that thing in the air? I bet there were Israelites pouring onto the battlefield to cheer him on and to get into the fight. Sometimes in God's will, it may seem like you're going it alone, but there's others just watching. And if you win, if you stay true, you stay faithful, some will join you on the battlefield. God's will is an important stone to pick up. We've picked up three. There's so many people that have graduated from this school that knew Jesus was the way. They picked up the stone of God's word, and they stayed in the work of God. They stayed in a good church. But the one thing they jumped ship on God with is His will. They sought their own will. Do you know when David stepped on this battlefield, he could have just said, "All right, folks, I checked in. I'm going to take this report back to Dad." It's not a good report. Do you know David wasn't, he wasn't doing wrong to go into the battle. Think about the report that he came home with Dad. "Dad, I showed up." And everybody just seemed like they were so low. The giant was against God, and so I wanted to come back right away and bring you the report, but the report would not have been good, so I stayed long enough to kill the giant. And I want you to see the results of the battle. They're good, Dad. Can you imagine? Look at the sword I got, Dad. Amen. Amen. Look what I come home with. Amen. And listen, I want you to see this last point. The last stone he picked up was God's wealth. Because you know, most of the time, the things that people chase, what they see, all the people ran past. They ran in and they took and killed and they took the money out of their pockets. And they were out there to get wealthy in this world. David left the battlefield with something that was worth so much more. It doesn't say that he took Goliath's pouch of money off the side of him. He took Goliath's head. And he took his sword. And I just want to remind you, and I don't have time to turn there and give everything to you as we finish up today, but David, in the low part of his life, being chased by Saul when he needed the greatest encouragement of his life, do you have any weapons? He's in the house of God. Is there any weapons here? He said, "There's just one sword, but it's Goliath's sword." And David says, "Give it to me. There's none like it." To David, there was no other sword like that sword. That sword took him back to a place where he crossed a brook and he picked up his last stone and he said, "You know what? What God counts as riches, I'll count as riches. What God thinks is important in this life, I'll think is important in this life." You know, you don't think about your mindset. Do you know we live in a day and age where phones, internet, and everything bombard us on a daily basis to tell us what is important to the world? But the things that are truly important to God are what are truly important in eternity. And you will live this life, and if God tarries his coming, you may get that 70 years God promises us all. And by strength, you may make it to 80 or 90. And we've had some gracious people that made it to 100 in here. But 100 years may seem like a long life to you. But let me tell you, somebody that spent half of them already, it seemed like it went so quick. It wasn't all that long ago that I sat where you sat in high school in my cap and gown, and I've spent all those years. And I'm so glad along the way that I picked up a stone. God's what's riches to you will be riches to me. Do you know that God can bless the Christian from his riches and glory? He'll take care of your needs here on earth. But it says to store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. You will spend a lifetime either spending what you got, spending your life on yourself, or you will spend a life in the battle storing up treasures from when you stand before the righteous judge and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." These are five stones. I mean, they're smooth stones. They're not hard to carry. They're not ones that are hard against your hand. They're smooth stones that you can put and carry throughout this life. I beg you, graduates, take these stones with you. Put them in the bag of life and carry them throughout your life. You'll need them. You will definitely need them in the battle. As you face the battle of this life, don't leave. And let me just say this to everybody. Picking up five stones, he didn't pick them all up by one. It looks like he chose them individually. And the first stone he picked up that I spent today, that I said, "Hey, the first stone did the job to the giant." You know, the first stone was Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that for every one of us that's in this auditorium today, that stone slayed the giant of sin and paid our sin debt so that we might go to heaven? There's only one that needed to be thrown. The rest could be carried throughout the rest of his life, and that one was spent on that victory. You know, you can live in victory. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven if you accept Jesus and his finished work of Calvary. What you do with Jesus will determine where you spend eternity. It's a stone that every one of us need to pick up. It's a stone that every one of us need to know for sure that we have it. We have it for sure. If you're here today and don't know Christ as your Savior, along with these graduates, I encourage you to receive Christ as your Savior if you don't know Him. If you're here and God spoke to your heart in some other way, and even if you're in the congregation or you're a graduate, you can do business with God this morning. As we bow our heads and I'll pray and our musicians make their way, this morning the invitation is an invitation for you to come and receive Christ, to accept Him as your personal Savior. You may know His name, you may know what He's done, but if you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, why don't you make today the day of salvation for you? By coming down an old-fashioned aisle, letting us take in a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. Dear Lord, I pray for these that are here in the auditorium, Lord. I pray for the graduates, Lord. As they go from this place, Lord, help them not to go unless they know for sure that they're on their way to heaven because of what Jesus did on Calvary for them. They're trusting in His finished work. If there's anybody in the building today that needs to come to the altar maybe and be prayed for, Lord, they need to get the stone of the Word of God or one of these other stones that were mentioned. Lord, help them to do business with You today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You come. Let's stand together. You come, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and wait.
Bow your head with me this morning while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around but me and God this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, while folks are praying and their heads are bowed, why don't you step out and come? Maybe you've held on to the pew and you know you need to be saved this morning. Why don't you just step out and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Maybe you're here and you've been saved, but you never stepped out and made that first step of obedience through baptism. Why don't you step out and surrender to that this morning as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within,
thank everybody for coming today, and I know we're going to kind of close it out with our graduates this morning, but just let me say this. I know on a baccalaureate Sunday like this, you may have been hesitant to walk the aisle and to come and be saved. After the service, I'll be right here in the front, and it would be my great pleasure to stay and just take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Our purpose as a church is to make sure that folks that come into these doors leave knowing for sure that heaven will be their home, that Jesus is their Savior, and we can do that for you this morning. You didn't have to walk forward in the invitation. You can do that right after we finish today. We're going to let everybody be seated in the auditorium. All right, Brother Burt, we'll let you take over. Thank you.
stand together and we'll have a closing word of prayer. What a great message this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for that, for all of us to take those stones with us throughout life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, the opportunity to honor our graduates. Lord, as we heard your word preached this morning, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. Let's help us to take those five stones with us wherever we go in life and use them to further your gospel around the world. Lord, I thank you for each of our seniors. I pray that they would take this to heart. I pray you'd bless them, help them as they follow your will for their lives. Lord, we thank you for this great day. Bring us back tonight as we celebrate our college graduates as well. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and commit all of this to you in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.